Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
Hate doing cardio? Try brushing and flossing your teeth. I'm not talking about building up a sweat. I'm talking about building a healthier mouth for a healthier heart for a healthier you. Smile Generation trusted dentists look at your care through the lens of the mouth-body connection, because what happens in the mouth plays a critical role for the rest of your body. To find a dentist near you committed to treating all of you, visit smilegeneration.com/confidence today and live longer, healthier, and happier with Confidence Unleashed.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
And away we go with hour number two. It's a three-hour show today. Chris Ello, Matt Scraby together in our Odyssey Palace studios. Tony Gwynn Jr. Despite what might be a popular belief out there that he's just in mourning because his Lakers were slammed out of the playoffs last night by Minnesota, he planned on taking today off to try to feel a little better. He's been a little under the weather the last week or so, been working his butt off. So he's resting comfortably in Pittsburgh, or as you like to say now, The Pit. Isn't that your new favorite show?
Yes, I love that
show. Yes, Scraby's
love
a big recommendation on this show.
Love
new,
it.
Where's it on, Netflix or
HBO Max?
HBO Max.
It's,
right?
It's I gotta say, it's intense.
You're like, enjoying this
for
show.
Me, yes. For me, someone who loves intense stuff.
Yeah.
It's intense.
You've been going on and on about it. Speaking of the Lakers, I kind of ripped them apart in the first hour. J.J. Redick spoke today, the end of the season press conference, as it were.
Yes.
J.J. Redick said, I hope this isn't the first thing he said. This isn't in the right context. Because I think it's kind of blaming other stuff.
Okay.
But he says, I think we got to get in a lot better shape.
He did say that.
Yeah. He said, we have a ways to go as a roster. Certainly there are individuals that were in phenomenal shape, but there are other ones that could have been in better shape. That's where my mind goes immediately, is we have to get in championship shape. Now, to say that is, first of all, to not necessarily acknowledge the fact that you officially now did not do a good job managing this roster by sitting everybody on the bench when you're admitting that your guys aren't in shape, right? Like, if you know they're not in shape, seems like they'd need more rest, not less. Right?
Yes.
Do you not agree with me there? I
do agree with you there.
So
I kind of think the media just wants to do the gotcha thing with J.J. Redick because he is such a fiery human being.
Yes, he'll fire back at you.
Your little question will make the rounds in the viral videos.
Yeah, maybe so, yeah. The other thing why you say this quote is that people are going to think of Luka. Why? Because when he was traded from Dallas, that was the rumor that he's not in shape. So is J.J. Redick referring to him or not?
Well, we'll talk about that in the Big Five, but...
All right.
I preview... He's got to be.
Well, we'll find out.
He's not talking about LeBron. He wouldn't take that shot at LeBron.
Yeah, I don't know where he's going here.
I mean, if Luka's just not in shape, then he might be one of the best athletes in the world because he's one of the greatest
basketball
players.
Just think how
good
he would be if he was in shape.
I wish I could do that.
Yeah.
A lot of people wish they could do that.
Yeah, but in the fourth quarter, there went Julius Randle driving by him like he was a stationary traffic cone.
Yeah,
I mean they should have put Luka in an orange uniform. He looked, you know,
it would have been great.
Yeah, he looked just like one of those things.
Oh, that's what he was outside this.
Uh oh, What'd you do?
Nothing.
Something fell over.
My beauty light just fell.
Oh, your beauty light? Well, you know what? Mine's not on, which is the way I like it. So I shouldn't even point that out.
That was interesting.
You okay there?
I think so.
These beauty lights kind of crack me up. They came into being when Annie worked here.
I think
Annie was a fan of the beauty lights, and now all of us have beauty lights, and people like me don't really feel like I, you know, not that I don't need one.
It's not called a beauty light. I call it a beauty light. It's called a ring light, but yes. We needed it because my face in this room
a little not bright enough.
No, with the angle of the light makes me look like a troll.
All right. So. Well, let's leave it at that and go into today's Daily Gambit. It sounds like an excellent transition.
Do you like money?
I think about money a lot.
Do you like money without doing anything?
Winning.
Do you want to make money while watching sports?
I think Washington is a mortal lock.
Washington! Woohoo!
If you answered yes, this is your segment. Just don't blame us when you lose.
Well, nothing is ever your fault.
It's your game. Take it.
Gwen and Chris go through the top bets of the day in the Daily Gambit on 97.3 The Fan.
Daily Gambit is our daily sports betting segment here on Gwen and Chris. Please, everybody, gamble responsibly. Let's get through some of the bets we made on Tuesday. Indiana -8 over Milwaukee. Chris and I chose Indiana. Tony chose the Bucks. Indiana won, but they only won by 1 point, so we lose the bet. Knicks.
Thank you, Giannis.
Yes.
Very Luka-like defense on that last play.
Giannis answered the parking cone. That's what his new name is.
Yeah.
Great joke.
Knicks, pretty good, actually. I like that one for you.
Knicks -5.5 over the Pistons. You chose the Pistons. Tony and I chose the Knicks, but the Pistons won outright 106-103. So you win that one. Boston -11.5 against the Magic. Tony and I took the Magic. You took the Celtics. Boston destroyed them 120-89, so the Magic are bounced. Clippers -1.5 against Denver. We all chose the Clippers. Denver won by 16, 131-115.
Other than Kawhi, who was brilliant in that game, the Clips laid a big-time egg, and they need to make up for it tonight, or they're going to be done as well.
Kawhi Leonard, over under 35.5 points plus rebounds plus assists. All of us went over. He had 20 points, 9 rebounds, 11 assists, which makes 40, which we win the bet. Giants -1.5 over the Padres on Tuesday night. We all know that the Padres won 7-4.
And we all chose the Padres. Yeah.
And then who had more strikeouts, Zach Wheeler or Mackenzie Gore? You guys went Gore. I went Zach Wheeler. Wheeler had 7. Gore had 6.
Do you know that those are the top 2 strikeout guys in baseball right now?
I knew that Gore was up there, but yeah, I haven't really been seeing what Zach Wheeler's been
Wheeler's
doing.
Wheeler's number 2. All right, so for the week, you are 7-7. I'm 7-7. So it'll be all decided right here, Scrabe. Tonight, Game 6, Detroit at home, trying to stay alive, -1.5 against the Knickerbockers. I'll go first here. I think the Knicks are going to wrap it tonight. But Detroit is giving them everything they want.
Yes.
And the Knicks, but they should have the experience in a game like this to close it out. Very difficult. Pistons survived once. I don't think they survive again. I'll take the Knicks. What about you?
My immediate thought was Pistons, so I'll stick with it.
All right. Pistons go to game 7, you say. Clippers -6.5 at home over Denver. Again, we just talked about it. Clippers were terrible in game 5. Weren't even really in the game. Denver, people, you know, give up on this team like I do with Jokic, no defense, etc. But Jamal Murray was unstoppable in game 5.
I'm going to go Clippers.
Clippers?
They're at home.
That's a lot of points, but I got to say the Clippers have to show up tonight. This would be a tremendous disappointment if the Clippers don't even get to a Game 7 in the first round. This is a team that most people, they played better than anyone in the second half. Kawhi's healthy, everything's there, and if they go out tonight, it's going to be very Clipper-like. Which game?
Tony will be happy.
Yeah, he would be. Which game scores more points? Total.
Okay. Oh, the Pistons and the Knicks or the Clippers and Denver?
Right. I go first. Clippers and Denver score more points than the Knicks and Pistons do, I say.
Yeah, I agree with you there.
You agree there. All right. Jokic or Cade Cunningham? Separate games, but two great all-star players. Who scores more points tonight?
I think That I'm going to go with Cunningham since I went with Detroit.
Cunningham. I'm going to go with Cunningham because I bet on Cunningham 20 times this year, and he won for me every time.
Well, that's a good way. That's a good reason to have him. As
all right, I put this in every day because it's the gimme.
The Rocks?
San Francisco at home, -1.5 over the Rocks. I'm taking San Francisco, and I will do this all season long. And I'm going to tell you why in a minute. Go ahead. Who do you like? You got a funny feeling on the Rockies again?
Not in San Francisco. It's too big of a ballpark.
Yeah, they're terrible.
I'm going to go Giants.
Giants. Here's why I think you, and I don't know if I'm on to something here, but we all kind of agree that the Rockies are going to be at least similar to the White Sox of last year, if not worse, but, you know, at least pretty bad.
Yeah.
I looked this up. Last year, the White Sox won 41 games. There were 13 other games that they lost by only one run, which means that they, in this scenario, they would have won 54 times for you.
Okay.
But they would have lost 108 times for you.
Okay.
If you bet $1,100 to win 100, which is the standard bet on the White Sox every game last year, you would have lost $12,000.
Oh, man.
And I think people bet more than that.
Yes.
So if you bet on the White Sox every game last year, you're down 12 grand.
I really hope no one is betting on the White Sox or the Rockies.
Well, what I'm thinking is, though, you could bet on the other side and you'd win 12 grand.
Yeah, but then...
That's what I'm thinking.
I feel like I'm the guy, though, that's going to have the Rockies...
I'm going to
put a large amount down on the Giants, and then the Rockies are going to win, like, three games.
You have to be consistent and just go, you know, against the Rockies all year. And, you know, if they win a couple, you suck it up. All right. Edmonton -1.5. Kings go all the way to Edmonton after losing three games in a row, and they got to save their season. Edmonton has eliminated the Kings each of the last 3 years.
Wow.
Trying to make it four straight years.
I wonder how the NHL feels about going to that small town of Edmonton.
Oh, God, yeah, right. Don't send any announcers up there.
No, they're not.
Who do you like here? Do the Kings stay alive, or does Edmonton wrap it up?
Nah, Oilers.
The oil. You're going with the oil.
I'm going with the oil.
You don't ever do this, but I'm betting with my heart. Come on, Kings.
Wow.
Please. Bring it back to La La Land for a game 7. All right, there's our daily gambit. We'll see how everything turns out tonight. And when we return, one of my favorite segments of each week now is this weekly visit we get with one of these announcers from MLS Season Pass on Apple TV.
Yes.
Every one of these has been fun.
Uh-huh.
And I feel like I'm learning a lot about soccer and SDFC, and I hope you are as well. Nate Bacotti is today's guest, and he's next after traffic on Gwen and Chris.
Nerds! Today's episode is sponsored by Smart Travel, a new podcast from NerdWallet. Smart Travel doesn't just cover points and miles. They break down all the financial aspects of your trip, whether that's the best days to book, how to avoid hidden fees, or which fancy travel credit cards pay off, and which ones are just an expensive flex. If you want your travel budget to work harder, then dive into the best deals, products, services, and more with Smart Travel from NerdWallet, wherever you get your podcasts.
Looking for a job is lonely. Endless searching, phone calls that go nowhere, applications that vanish into thin air. What if you could link with dozens of local companies who are hiring right now with just one connection? That's Express Employment Professionals. Find us at expresspros.com. One connection, endless opportunities, and no fees ever for job seekers. Express Employment Professionals. Expresspros.com.
Going up. Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
All right, welcome back to it. 3:18 is the time. Looking forward to talking a little, not football, going to talk football. SDFC dropped 3 in a row, falling kind of into the middle of the pack here in the Western Division of the MLS standings. SDFC back to work this weekend, taking on FC Dallas. Dallas has about the same record as SDFC does. They are 4-3 with three draws. SDFC is 4-4 with two draws. So almost the same records. They'll play this weekend at Snapdragon Stadium. And joining us to talk a little MLS in a moment. He's not here yet?
No, he's here. Nate Bucati is with us.
Okay, Nate Bucati, play-by-play announcer, MLS Season Pass on Apple TV. This is an interview that I look forward to every week. Nate, we appreciate you jumping in today and talking a little soccer with us. How are you?
I'm great, guys. How are you? It's good to talk to you.
Yeah, appreciate you coming on. I think our soccer fans here want to know what's wrong with our team, and you know, I don't know that that's fair necessarily. I mean, I think they got off to a start that was a little surprising to people. Earth, they played some decent competition. They had to travel cross country and back, but they have dropped three in a row. So how do they get out of this?
You know, it's that's one of the toughest things when you're doing what I do, which is, you know, parachute from one town to the next
and, yeah, right.
You know, try to spend the week getting to know a team that you haven't actually called a game for all year, as well as you guys know them. And then to diagnose what's wrong with them would be kind of silly on my part. But I will tell you, I did get a chance. We as broadcasters got a chance to talk to Mikey today. And certainly that was the tenor of most of the questions that we had for him. And, you know, it was funny because I've been covering Major League Soccer professionally for 10 years. I live in Kansas City. My experience has always been that, and I said this to Mikey, unless you're going to win the Supporter Shield, you're going to have a stretch where you really suffer in this league. It's just, there's so much parity, and so much is dependent on whether or not you stay healthy, whether or not you're in good form. All those types of things, and everybody goes through a rough stretch. And he corrected me and said, "You're going to have more than one rough stretch, not just one." And I said, "Well, fair enough." And what he did say was, he said that look, his expectations before the season was to try to compete for a playoff spot in the first year of a club. I think that's a good goal. And he said after they got off to the hot start, people started asking him if he was changing his expectations, and he said, "We're still trying to compete for a playoff spot." So I think he was very aware that it wasn't going to just be sunshine and roses all year long. I look back to, you know, St. Louis guys a couple years ago when they started, and they had an incredibly hot start to the league, and they weren't able to maintain it for the entire season. I still think their first year was a wild success by finishing first place in the West, but it's a tough gig in this league. So I didn't answer your question in terms of how do you fix what's going on, but certainly, they've hit one of those rough stretches right now. We can get into the issues if you guys want to about, you know, what the problems are right now. But I think that's kind of the big picture of it is don't freak out.
Yeah.
You know, mm-hmm. I think the league's adjusting a little bit too. They didn't know what to expect from this team, right, to
yeah.
start the season.
That's a good point.
You make some adjustments. You try to take away what they're good at. Now you see if San Diego can adjust back.
We're talking to Nate Bucati, play-by-play announcer for MLS Season Pass on Apple TV, and you are a former radio guy from what my research told me. Is that correct? 8:10 a.m. in Kansas City?
Yeah, I still kind of pop on with the guys a couple times a week, but yeah, I hosted the morning show in Kansas City for 17 years.
Wow.
So yeah, did my fair share of talk radio for sure.
Well, then you set me up for the question, which is what's going on with the SDFC right now?
Yeah, so, well, listen, one of the things about talk radio that I never was a huge fan of was when I would sit there and pretend I knew more about the team than the coach did himself. You know, because as we all know, we're not in the training sessions. We don't know what the dynamics are behind the scenes. But I do think I'm comfortable saying this, even just talking with Mikey Barris about it. And I talked to some of the other coaches in the league that have now played against San Diego. I just did the Charlotte game last weekend, coming off of their game against San Diego. And I think that teams have realized that you can't let San Diego play through the middle of the field. They'll cut you open if you do. And so teams have started to clog up the middle of the field and force them to play in a different way. I think San Diego has tried recently to play a little more direct in response to that, trying to figure out where the spaces are in the field. And I think, again, that's part of the adjustment. But another thing that you'll see in this league, guys, I admire San Diego because they want to play. Being in Kansas City, I'm colored by that because Sporting Kansas City always had that same mentality. They wanted to dictate the terms of the game, particularly at home. They felt like they owed it to their fans to put together an entertaining style of play and to tell the other team how this game's going to be played. And so they wanted to play with the ball. I saw a lot of teams that figured out if you can make yourself really difficult to break down, if you can mess things up in the middle a little bit and invite a team like that forward, you're going to have your opportunities to hit on the counterattack when they're not as organized defensively as they need to be. And especially if they don't have elite recovery type defenders to deal with it, you can get yourself in trouble. So I know those transition moments are a major point of emphasis for San Diego right now. Look, the lack of consistency on the back line. I mean, Mikey told us that he's still kind of trying out to see what the best combination is of players on the back line. That's a tough spot to be in when you're giving up transition opportunities, right?
Yeah.
So I think, you put those things together, it's a work in progress, and we'll see how they can sort those out as the season goes on.
Nate, one of the things I've kind of learned doing these interviews week to week with all the different broadcasters from MLS is what you just said, that SDFC plays a kind of a fun, open type of game. They invite, some offense and they're not just packing it in. They're attacking, they want the ball, et cetera. And what early in the season, it was working in the sense they gave up 6 goals in their first 7 games total. But in the last 3 games, they've given up 3, 3, and 3, which is 9, obviously. Mm-hmm. So that attacking style has hurt them in the regard of teams seem to, as you said, maybe figuring out how to counterattack them and kind of led to, their defense not being the same as it was at the beginning.
Yeah, I think that we saw it, I use that analogy again of St. Louis. The way that they decided to play when they started was that New York Red Bull style of car crash, 100 miles per hour, put everybody under pressure, we want to score within 2 passes type of play, and they got a lot of turnovers early. They had teams panicking a little bit, struggling to play through it. Then once teams kind of figured it out, they had a tougher time executing that game plan the rest of the way. So I do think that there's a little bit of that adjustment to the adjustment. One of the things I've seen in the league, guys, too, is a lot of coaches figure out that if you want to make it to the playoffs, let's just say that's what you want to do. You just want to make the playoffs. You want to be a good competitive team. You can do that in this league by just making yourself tough to beat. If you can be organized defensively, don't give up very many goals, and nick a set piece here and there, keep yourself in every game, you're going to win enough and draw enough games that you can get yourself into the postseason. You can even finish in the top 4 and be a playoff team. The harder part is then, okay, now you've done that. We saw Nashville do that when they came into the league. I think we saw Charlotte do that last year. Then they've tried to add that next component of, okay, now let's get good in the attack. Because, okay, we can make the playoffs, but we can't really win a trophy unless we have elite, level attacking prowess as well. And that component's a little harder to add. I think it takes bravery to do what San Diego and other teams that are trying to play this more progressive style want to play. I think it takes some bravery because you can get burned, as you've seen over the last 3 games. It can bite you, especially against these teams that have decided we're going to be organized, we're going to be tough to break down, and we're going to hit you on the counter. You can leave yourself hanging out a little bit. And so I hope San Diego sticks with it. Obviously, they got to sort some things out. And listening to Mikey Barris talk, I don't think there's any chance that they're not contemplating some massive overhaul in the system. Like he said, look, this, and I thought this was really interesting. And you guys have probably already heard this stuff, but for somebody like me that's kind of getting caught up on San Diego for the first time, the whole right to dream process. He said, look, the great thing is that this system isn't my system. This is the organization's system. This is bigger than me. So if one of the guys on the team, for example, doesn't like the way we're doing it, he's got bigger issues than me. He's got issues with the club. And for the record, he's very adamant that there's nothing like that, that there's a collective buy-in right now. The guys aren't panicking. They're not going to just second guess everything that they're doing. But it does mean you got to, okay, what are the problems that we're facing here? What's being taken away from us? And again, we just keep going back to it. That transition defending is going to be the number one thing making sure, because you're going to give the ball away sometimes when you're in the attack.
Right.
You've got to have that proactive defending and be organized so that when you do give it away, you're not in a bad position. And also that counter press, I think that can be a real weapon for San Diego when you do give the ball away and you're in the attacking third, that you win it right back before as the other team's starting to spread themselves out. That's a great way to come up with things. So I think if they can shore some of those things up, I think they'll start getting results again.
I'll tell you what, Nate, great stuff. Really
yes.
enjoy it. Like I said, every week I learn a whole bunch of new stuff.
I just sit back and listen.
About the football. you know, look, and I'm taking a little of the credit because when we had Mikey Varis on in the offseason, I stupidly asked him, why can't we have some 7-5 games? And he laughed at me and he said, this just doesn't happen in soccer. But I think to that point, San Diego has been willing to open things up and be willing to put some goals up and give up some goals. And I think that's a smart strategy for an expansion franchise. We want some fun, you know, wide open soccer. And the fans here, have a good call Saturday. Appreciate you joining us so much. And hopefully we talk to you down the road.
Anytime, guys. Really appreciate it. Thanks a lot.
Yes, sir. Very good. Nate Bicotti, play-by-play broadcaster, MLS season pass on Apple TV. The San Diego FC taking on FC Dallas Saturday and trying to snap a three-game losing streak.
Yes.
Haven't won in a month, Greg.
You know,
I don't know how these fans are holding up out there, but I wish them the best.
Listeners like me because I'm very transparent, and I wanted to ask a question, but I already asked a terrible question, and so I got too much in my head about it. But I wanted to ask him, and I didn't really know how to put this in a clear and concise way, but like in baseball, losing three games doesn't matter. In football, losing three games might be your season. In the MLS, what is it? Losing three games, is it no big deal? Is it kind of a deal, or is it a huge deal?
Well, I think it's got to be a deal, but you're playing 34 matches in the season. NFL's, what, 17?
Yes.
So half the season in the NFL, three losses.
So you could lose six, I guess,
no,
in the
MLS? No, if you lose six, you're going to be
that's because
probably
that would
do it.
Okay.
That's the same.
Yeah, because three games in the NFL, you lose three in a row, you might be done for the year.
It's about half the punishment, I think, in the MLS.
Okay. All right.
Which is how I would answer it.
Well, that's a good answer.
Thank you.
I like Neil Bucati, or Nate Bucati.
Are we doing we're doing a little 30-mile zone. There are a million, you know, stories.
We have to talk about a really sad one, Chris. I'm going to force us to talk about it.
All right, but there's some other fun stuff, I hope, in 30
miles.
Oh,
there's fun stuff, but we have to talk about the fan in Pittsburgh.
How about the John Elway thing? That's another
one
that's
quite sad. It's in there as well. Yeah, actually, this is going to be a really sad 30-mile zone. Sorry, everybody.
Well, you know, there's things we have to talk about, so
yeah.
We'll get to it next. Giving us a little look-see at the struggles of San Diego FC, our soccer squad, football squad. Back in action Saturday against FC Dallas.
We were scolded on the chat, Chris.
For what?
First thing we need to learn is they're matches, not games.
Whatever.
That's my thoughts exactly.
Snapdragon Stadium with a beautiful green grass field. Oh, God, they're pitches. I know, they're pitches.
How could you?
I know.
How could you?
Yeah, I know. Quick note before we get to the 30-mile zone. Dodgers talked about their pitching woes. In terms of injuries.
Yes.
Today, the Dodgers sent two of their best relievers to the 60-day injury list.
Uh-oh.
Both Blake Treinen and Michael Kopech go from 15 to 60. So, you know, those are two pretty key members.
Oh, yeah. Blake
the Dodger,
Treinen, definitely.
Kopech was pitching 8th, 9th inning last year as well. In the playoffs, Dodgers pick up former bullpen guy J.P. Feiereisen. He had most recently been with Arizona. They let him go. Dodgers last year. He's back with the Dodgers. Dodgers also acquired young pitcher Ryan Lutis from St. Louis. Future considerations type deal. Anyway, that's what's new with the Dodgers. Padres, no word on whether Jackson Merrill would be back tomorrow. That'll be another question I'm sure you can hear the answer to or non-answer to when Ben and Woods visit with the manager, Mike Shildt,
tomorrow 9 a.m. Thank you to EcoWater.
At 9 a.m.
I don't have a good feeling about it for this weekend at least.
Okay. Well,
I think they can hold him out of the Pirates series, and then they'll bring him back at Yankee Stadium.
I honestly think I don't have a good or bad feeling about it. I think it's going to come out of the blue. The Padres are not going to, I don't think, just judging by the way the Padres do things, I don't think the same way they didn't make it too clear that he was going to be going on the injured list. Right? Remember originally, he's out a day or two, maybe. Yeah. We got
to
go rest.
Day to day.
Yeah, we're staying ahead of it.
IL, he'll be back by Houston.
It's no biggie. Well, the same way they did that is the same bring him back. I don't think they're going to say, you know, I think another day or two and Jackson will be back. I just think he's going to be back. So I'm going to, you know, I am going to keep my fingers crossed for tomorrow.
Me too. I will be watching my fantasy lineup because it's, I desperately need Jackson Merrill back.
Speaking of Padres center fielders, Tyler Wade will be our Friar Friday guest tomorrow. It is a short program from about 2 to 2:30, so don't miss it.
Yes.
Tomorrow, if you're late, it's going to be too late.
You'll be listening to the game.
All right, today's schedule, we're on till 5, then a replay of this morning's Padre Roundtable. 1 hour of commercial-free Padre talk, followed at 6 o'clock tonight by the Scraby Chronicles. Matt Scraby will have you from 6 to 7 tonight.
Yes.
Right now, we check some traffic, and then we head on into the 30-mile zone.
If you don't know your sports gossip, can you really call yourself a sports fan? It's time to bring together sports and celebrity gossip. We call it the 30-mile zone, mainly so we don't get sued by the real company. On 97.3 The Fan.
All right, 30 Mile Zone, as you heard, is our sports gossip segment here on Gwen and Chris.
Just a real quick note.
Yeah.
You, today, are turning into me.
Why?
Well, you knocked down the
I did.
Earlier. Now you're, you know, sneezing during the intro.
Well, at least
those
the
are the kinds of things.
Off.
True, but those are the kind of things I usually do.
You know, my mom's going to hate me for this.
Uh-oh.
I'm starting to sneeze like my mom, which is extremely loud and boisterous. She's going to hate me for this.
I have a question out. This is not going to concern your mom.
She's going
to
hate me.
All right, leave it alone. Let your mom go. Here's my question to you before we get to the 30-mile zone. What is more annoying to you out there? Not you, but everybody.
Okay.
Somebody who sneezes extremely loud, or somebody that barely even goes, achoo, achoo. Because there's people who do that as well. What's more annoying?
I know exactly what you're talking about.
You know what I mean, right?
I
people
do.
That go, achoo.
Yeah, it's like, oh, doo.
Yeah. What's more annoying?
I think that's more annoying.
That?
Yeah.
Okay.
Just let me, but I also find really loud sneezes. I find them really annoying as well.
They're not great, but we all sneeze. It happens. So let it go. I say.
Gonzo says.
Cover your mouth and cover, you know, take those necessary precautions, but sneeze.
I used to plug my nose when I would sneeze. For some reason.
That created
as a
havoc.
Kid. You could break a rib. You could do some bad things. Sneezes are, you can be seriously injured.
Pretty much.
During a sneeze.
I think you can look it up. Sammy Sosa famously went on the injured list from a sneeze.
I don't blame him. That is not weird to me.
Okay.
All right,
when
let's
he
get
went
into...
on the injured list, it was still called the disabled list. You were allowed to say that word.
Yeah, so you, for some reason it still bothers you that they changed it.
Again, I'm not trying to take anything away from the disabled people, but I don't know that we have to be politically correct about every single word we speak.
I actually like injured list better.
Okay.
Because it explains it to me a little bit more.
All right, fair enough.
All right, if you love Mediterranean food, try Spiro's for authentic Mediterranean cuisine in Coronado or La Jolla for dining or takeout options. visit spirocuisine.com. My mom just texted me.
Well,
she
you
is
said
mad.
It.
I'm sorry, Mom. I had to. All right.
If it makes you feel any better, Mom, I appreciate somebody who sneezes over somebody that goes, ka-choo. So, yeah, I'm with you.
They're
it's
both
okay.
annoying.
It's
They're
okay.
both annoying. All right, so let's get into this very, very, very sad story that happened at PNC Park last night against when the Pirates were playing the Cubs. So there was a fan. He's 20 years old. We found out his name. It's Kavin Markwood. He is a 2022 graduate of South Allegheny High School, which if he's 20, Okay, so the fan...
That opens up another can of worms.
It does, yes. So the fan, you all know by now, and I've seen the video, I'm sure. He fell over a 21-foot wall in right field. It's called the Roberto Clemente wall.
And he landed on the field of play.
On the field during a play.
Pretty much went head over heels.
Yeah.
And down he went and laid motionless on the warning track.
Yeah.
For a while.
A long while.
Right.
And he's not doing great. Unfortunately, he's in critical condition still. I just went to a WTAE, which is a local Pittsburgh news station, and they're saying that he's in critical condition after that. But I'm also seeing a lot of, or I saw a post from someone saying they were at the game saying that he was drunk. And so, obviously, if you're 20 years old, you're not allowed to drink in the United States of America. So there's many cans of worms now that are opened in my head. But the reason I want to talk about this, Chris, is because I, no joke, think about this every single game that I go to.
I wish you wouldn't bring this up, but go ahead.
And on Sunday...
I don't want you to go here because I... Anyway, finish up and I'll tell
you. On Sunday, there was a man who went for a foul ball in one of the upper... sections
at Petco is what you're referring to. Petco,
yes. Okay. And I thought he was going over. He didn't, but I thought he was going over. Every single time I see a game, I see something that scares me like this, and I'm wondering how long it's going to be before we have fences put up even further so that this can't happen.
Yeah, that's what I'm hoping against. I wish that we didn't have to. You know, I wish people could we could trust people to not take a risk reaching for a foul ball, or we could also trust people not to get so drunk that they just fall out of the stands.
Yeah, yeah.
And I'm not, again, I shouldn't be accusatory. This guy's lying in critical condition.
Yes.
But I'm almost sure he was...
intoxicated.
He almost had to be. I don't know how you could just flop over the railing like he did without being...
Well, he...
You told me that he was making a racket out there, according to witnesses.
According to the post. See, we can't believe anything on the internet, but the post said that he was a nice guy. He wasn't like a belligerent drunk or anything, but he was getting to the point where he was ripping off his shirt and he was pouring beers over his head. And then when the
which
Pirates...
is something that sober people do often.
Exactly.
Yeah.
The hit happened. He got excited for the hit. He jumped up and he lost his balance. And I've watched this video over 100 times, and you could see at the last second him trying to grab the railing, and it terrifies me. This whole thing terrifies me.
Well, here's the thing. This is my personal experience. First of all, I'm in the minority. I'll say it ahead of time. I wish that we, as a society, didn't have to protect all of you from yourselves all the time. I wish we could, you know, trust you to control yourself and, you know, not do stupid stuff. But we can't, so we have to put these rules in. Ted and I, Leitner, when we did the Aztec football at the old Qualcomm.
Here's a concept. Bite me.
Hey! Actually, this is what he said when this happened. Somebody fell out of the booth, a worker, after a game one time, trying to fix some lights. He was fine. Nothing happened to this guy. But the fact he fell, the next week they put plexiglass up in front of where we called the game.
There you go.
And that's when Ted said to whoever did that,
here's a concept, bite me.
Yeah, he wasn't pleased. And again, it's like one idiot falls, so the rest of us now have to sit behind plexiglass. But yes, this is going to happen one day. Scrape, I don't disagree with you.
They put netting down the third and first base line, which I completely agree, and I cannot believe we were watching games before without that netting down first and
third.
How
about the fact we used to watch hockey games and sit behind the goal
with no netting up? Yeah, that is crazy.
Puck would just fly in there at 120 miles an hour and ricochet off some guy's head until somebody got killed, and then the netting went up.
I hope that they're not going to do this because it just one person around baseball has this happen. No team wants to take the liability for this now. And if this guy's 20 years old and he's drinking beer in their park, you better believe there are going to be some lawsuits. There's going to be some legal stuff that happens.
Understand how our society works.
Yeah.
20 years ago, a very unfortunate first base coach in the minor leagues named Mike Coolbaugh was hit by a line drive.
Mm.
And he died.
Oh.
Since that day, every base coach in baseball, minors, majors, wherever, wears a helmet. That's what brought that rule on. It didn't happen on its own. So we react to things like this. We'll probably react to this one.
We will. And I just got to say, as someone who is a recovering alcoholic, I'm very lucky, and I am very, very... I have no idea how I made it unscathed, because I'm going to share on the Scraby Show a story of something that I did when I was drunk that probably should have killed me, and it really scared my friends into not being my friend anymore. So just be careful, people. Just be careful. Don't do... It freaks me out every time I see a ball go up in the third deck, in the front of the third deck, because people reach over. Freaks me out. To another sad...
It's a natural reflex. The guy in left field reached over yesterday and, you know, hit the home run ball with
21
his
feet. High.
No, the guy at Petco.
Oh, yes,
just reaching out. It's a reflex is what I'm saying.
Yeah, yeah. You see a ball coming at you, your brain kind of goes haywire for a second. Here's another sad story. John Elway's business partner and ex-agent dies after a fall from a golf cart driven by John Elway. So apparently this happened in La Quinta, California, and his friend Jeff Spurbeck, his longtime friend, business partner, former agent, died after falling from the golf cart and hitting his head, and they pronounced him dead on Saturday or Sunday.
Not correct. Let me just, I'm not trying to...
No, I know, I'm looking at
call
this
you
thing.
Out. This happened
oh,
on Saturday night.
Yesterday, I'm sorry.
This happened on Saturday night. They did everything they could to save him.
Yes, yes.
It wasn't... ever looking good, and eventually, yes.
So he passed
he did
away.
Officially die.
Yes.
You know, yesterday morning,
correct.
I think 1 a.m., something like that.
But it happened over the weekend.
It did. Here's what happened to Elway. This was not on a golf course. This was after Stagecoach. They all went to Stagecoach. Elway, his friend, his family.
Oh, okay.
People, they all went to the Stagecoach thing out there. Then they left and they went to some gathering in La Quinta in the neighborhood in which they live.
It's where my grandparents used to live. Okay. I know. I'm very familiar.
All right. So it's often the case in these kind of neighborhoods, you kind of golf cart from place
yes.
to place.
Yes. That's a
it's
huge
simpler.
Thing. Yes.
Apparently they're still getting in more information, but apparently they all piled into the golf cart. This guy was standing on the back of the golf cart.
Oh, I do that all the time.
And Elway was driving, and yeah, he fell, and he bounced around on the concrete. And
so he hit his head on the pavement.
Yeah, that was ball. It's it. Now, Elway has not been charged. He's not been blamed. He's not been anything. But there was no immediate investigation because all the police were at Stagecoach. The investigation is
not
now...
Not watching, just working.
Well, whatever. You know, it's a big event. Anyway, they're now investigating to make sure there's nothing wrong here. Again, Elway went to Stagecoach. He went to a party. Might he have had a few too many? I'm not saying Elway did anything wrong.
Yes.
But if he was driving that golf cart and he was inebriated in any way, that is not going to be a great look.
No.
And it's also going to be something very difficult, I'm sure, for John Elway to deal with moving forward.
Yes.
If he even remotely feels like his, you know, not being 100%, and I'm not saying he was, but I'm adding two and two together, as are many of you listening, assuming that maybe he had, I'm not saying Elway was weaving or, you know, I'm just saying if he had a few too many beers and this guy falls off, even if it was a thing.
He's liable.
He could be liable. He could also... Anyway, it's a terrible thing. And I don't want anything to happen to Elway. Don't get me wrong. Just saying. They're taking a look into this. Let's see what happens.
So far, we don't know about the alcohol, but...
No, we don't.
You have to think there was something there.
You have to think it's a possibility.
All the time. I jump on the back of a golf cart and get a ride to the next hole or something, and I could totally see someone losing their footing and falling and hitting their head. And this is just sad. I mean, these two stories are sad. One, most likely alcohol. The other, we don't know yet. But people, just be careful. Be very, very careful, because
yes,
life can end like
look,
that.
Look, Elway's friend died, and I'm probably out of pocket for even suggesting. But I'm thinking what a lot of us are probably thinking.
He's at Stagecoach. He's driving a golf cart.
He goes to a party after Stagecoach. But anyway... The man died. Yeah. That's the thing about
his best friend.
Yeah, his best friend.
Yeah.
Imagine how horrifying this would all be.
Yeah.
Okay. So hopefully the next 30-mile zone will be a little cheerier than that one was.
Yeah, don't give us anything to talk about, people. Yeah. I want to talk about the fun stuff.
Why are they talking
like
about
Jimmy Butler pooping his pants?
Or Belichick's girlfriend.
I'm so over it.
Much more fun story than what we just went through. A little Chris versus the fans is coming up next. Your chance to go to Las Vegas, play trivia.